28. Num-Anor, alone in his sleeping chamber, prodded the gablith masker that gave him the appearance of a gibbon, and it peeled off. A little more reluctantly, he coaxed the communication Nulith-Villip hybrid from his throat. The sleeping quarters were always pressurized, no matter what, so he ought to be safe. Even Given could not stand exposure to hard vacuum indefinitely. Posing as a Given had more unique challenges than any role he had assumed before, their language not the least. When speaking to one another, they expressed themselves in phrases that more resembled calculus than grammar, though, of course, the two had much in common. Even with the teasel worm to translate for him, Num-Anor still often tripped on the language. For that reason alone, many of the Given knew who and what he really was. It was only with the help of his local agents that he managed to remain disguised to the rest. This he disliked. Long experience had taught him that Num-Anor could count only on Num-Anor, and if he were discovered by the wrong people, he put the Nulith-Villip back on. Why take chances? Noting the time on the ridiculously complex Given chronometer, he withdrew the box that housed his Villip and prepared to stroke it to life. He found it already pulsing for attention, and in a few moments he regarded a facsimile of Commander Kurong La's face. "The stalking moon is in this system?" Num-Anor asked the warrior. Kurong La's features twisted into a glare. "Your perfect plan develops clots of blood," he growled. "You mean the Rhodian Jedi?" Num-Anor asked. "Our agents on Eriadu have dealt with him." "Yes? And the infidel ship that jumped into the midst of my fleet?" Num-Anor didn't blink. He couldn't. It had rapidly become clear, working with Kurong La, that the warrior harbored a deep resentment toward him. This was not unexpected, but it was not trivial either. Num-Anor had no warriors loyal to him. He had to rely on Kurong La to place his fleet and troops when the time came. There would come a moment when Num-Anor was truly vulnerable, and at that moment Kurong La might hold the key to his survival. That, to Num-Anor's mind, was the only flaw in his plan, whatever trouble Kurong La thought he foresaw. "Your fleet is on a major shipping route," the executor said. "The possibility of a chance meeting with an infidel ship was known to us. I'm certain you destroyed it." "Almost instantly. But now we have lost contact with the stalking moon." That was an unpleasant surprise. Perhaps they've merely experienced disorientation after leaving hyperspace. The cloaking shadow it wears is prone to complications. "And perhaps your allies were waiting for her and destroyed her as she reverted." "That's not possible," Num-Anor said. Or was it? The Given were stranger even than the humans, much harder to read. Had he miscalculated so badly? No. This was a minor setback, nothing more. The plan was good. "We have some hours yet," Num-Anor assured the war leader. "I shall discover what troubles, if any, the stalking moon is having, and report promptly back to you." "See you do," Kurong La snapped. Num-Anor's expression soured as the Villip calmed. If something had happened to the advance ship, could he still convince his Given allies to perform their act of sabotage? Of course he could. But he smelled Jedi in this somewhere, beyond the lone Rhodian who had identified Num-Anor as Yuuzhan Vong when visiting Yagdul Station. It had been easy enough to have him tracked and murdered, and his Peace Brigade contacts on Eriadu assured him that the Rhodian had never had a chance to communicate to anyone else. But then the Peace Brigade had been known to lie before, when they thought it made for better groveling, and the Jedi had the power to send thought without words. Num-Anor sat and composed his ideas carefully. If there were Jedi here, what would they do? He had to be ready for them when they came. He would be. And perhaps, added to the conquest of Yagdul, given slaves and the threat to a source of Bacta in the nearby Thyphera system, he would have another jewel or two to hand Savong La.